testimony to share of her experiences with you. And so I know that you're going to be blessed by that. I tell you, there are so many things that are happening, and yet it seems like time is just moving so quickly. And so I encourage you, as we are getting into this busier season, really October, November, December, and into the beginning of January, that you do not lose your connection with your family, your church family, the community here, because this is what keeps us grounded. This is what keeps us moving forward and remembering that we're not going to get swept off our feet with all of the hustle and bustle of all of the busyness of life. We can come in here to the house of God and we can lock arms together and grow in our faith and grow in community with one another. So I would encourage us to be faithful in that. The message this morning that I have for you is titled Supernatural Obsession. And it's subtitled A Spiritual Pursuit. If you don't know what that picture is, yeah, it's the thinker, and that behind him is a depiction as sculpted out. It's called the Gates of Hell is what it's subtitled, but it has heaven above and has hell below. It's a really amazing piece of artwork, but it's interesting that right in front of that, sitting there at the precipice, is this person, and they're thinking, they're putting a lot of thought to this. I want to start by reading a little bit of my thoughts, and then we're going to dive into the Word of God. For the entirety of human existence, mankind has been obsessed with the supernatural. The compelling question is why? Why are we obsessed with what we cannot see or scientifically prove or disprove? We are unable to quantify or put into any form of reason sufficient evidence to satisfy logical inquisition. For centuries, the most scholarly minded have debated over the existence of God. Many have devoted their lives to disproving anything that cannot be scientifically explained. We have seen the results of this as demonstrated through Marxism, socialism, and communism. Charles Darwin's Origin of Species introduced what would become to be known as the theory of evolution. This is only a recent history. Ever since the Greek philosophers began to attempt through logic and reason to unveil the mysteries of the universe and give thought to purpose of our existence, a dichotomy was formed between the realm of science and reason and that of divine order. To date, the dichotomy continues to exist. Yet in today's postmodern society, we find ourselves in a perplexing paradox. While multitudes have flocked to the banner of scientific, modern, or progressive thinking and have adopted a plethora of identifiers such as narcissism, agnosticism, or atheism, there is an undeniable awakening and pursuit of the supernatural. Everything from Ouija boards, Dungeons and Dragons, World of Warcraft, Harry Potter, to yoga meditation, New Age practices, and the paranormal. How is it that simultaneously, having reached a summit in critical thinking, logic, and reason, there has awakened such an obsession with the supernatural? People are wanting, craving, and pursuing a spiritual interaction, an experience, or encounter with the supernatural. If we look at the different things, I was out on, we had a wonderful time. My wife and I got to go on a little date, evening date getaway. Thanks to the Benuses, by the way, for babysitting our children. We appreciate that so much. So we could do that. And as we were walking after eating, I happened to stop by Barnes & Noble's, and there in the Starbucks magazine rack is the National Geographic magazine, and on the cover of it, I snapped a picture, and I was going to put it in here, but I didn't. It said, the science of the supernatural. The science of the supernatural. We were later sitting, and we were chatting, and there was a television off in the background, and it sounded kind of eerie and weird, and I glanced over there, and it's some show called Ghost Adventures or something like that, or Ghost Chasers, I don't know. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, you know, there is this obsession with the supernatural. Of course, we know that there our children are caught up in all of these games that they like to play. These I can't think of the name of it right now, but it's where the role-playing games where they are entering into these fantasy lands, and a lot of these things now have these spells that you are having to cast on people in an attempt to gain more power and all of these things. And so there is definitely this, whether we realize it or not, whether we want to recognize it as this or not, these things are a pull toward, a drawing toward the supernatural. I even remember recently that there was a story of an unveiling of is it called the Behemoth or something like that? It's the satanic goat-looking thing that has been traveling around the United States and being unveiled in different places. Are any of you familiar with this? Did y'all see this in the news? Okay, well, about, you know, several months ago, there was this unveiling in this particular location, and they and it's been unveiled all throughout the United States. And there was this huge uproar because of what it represents and all of these things, but there is simultaneously this draw towards, especially the younger generation, this draw towards these spiritual experiences. People are looking for answers. And the question is why? Why, when reason and logic are seemingly denying the existence of God and all of these things, how is it possible that simultaneously there is this current that is pulling people toward a spiritual experience? And the answer is simple. Despite science, logic, and reason's best efforts to answer basic questions about the purpose of our existence and how we get here, after thousands of years of debating and pondering, they are still no closer to the answer than when they began. No closer. They still don't have the answer. They still, if you ask the scientists about that, they'll go through the Big Bang thing, but then you say, well, where did the matter come from? Right? They can't answer that question. Or how did all of the energy accumulate into one place? And there are these questions that they don't exactly have answers to. They can't exactly figure it out. And the reason is that our efforts are futile when we attempt to, with our finite, to ever fathom infinity. Does that make sense? In the finite, how can we ever fathom infinity? Can light produce darkness? Can mortals possess immortality? Can the creation ever supersede the creator? Can the natural ever fathom the supernatural? It is laughable for us to think that through logic and reason, we can ever comprehend that which supersedes the limitations of our psyche. Listen, we can't even understand ourselves. We cannot even begin to understand ourselves. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Who can understand it? If we look and we begin to realize that we are broken people, that we do not have the ability with our logic and reason and the advances of science to even begin to fathom who God is, then we begin to understand why there is this spiritual hunger within us. We have to understand that we're not even in the same league with God. There is no comparison between us and him. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 through 29 says, "Instead, God chose things the world considers foolishness in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God." From the very beginning, the first sin was an attempt to bypass dependency on God. Think about it. It was an attempt to bypass dependency on God. Genesis chapter 3, 5, and 6. "For God knows that when you eat from it," this is the serpent speaking, "your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. You know, this is no different from the sin. Well, there is a difference, but the same thing Satan did. Let's look at this in Isaiah. There we go. Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit." We can spend our entire lives trying to gain wisdom, trying to better ourselves. We can seek a life of fulfillment and satisfaction without God. We can apply ourselves to scientific deduction and seek logic and reason as an attempt to define meaning and purpose. We can pursue social justice and believe in the basic goodness of mankind. We can attempt to be good citizens and apply ourselves to good moral conduct as defined by society. In the end, we will reach the same conclusion as Solomon. It's all meaningless. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 8 says, "Everything is meaningless," says the teacher. Completely meaningless. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God, obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, he says, "This is what the Lord says. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches. But those who wish to boast should boast in this alone." Say this with me: that they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord, who demonstrates unfailing love, who brings justice and righteousness to the earth, and that I delight in these things. What does that last statement say? I, the Lord, have spoken. Does that settle it? I, the Lord, have spoken. It's a powerful statement. When I hear that, it's kind of like, whoa, All right, I'm paying attention. I'm listening. What did he say? Let me read it again. That's when I see that I, the Lord, have spoken, I'm paying attention to that. I'm paying attention to that. The reason that there is a draw to the supernatural, the reason that there is a draw to the supernatural is because knowledge can never satisfy the hunger within us for spiritual reconnection with the divine nature of the one who breathed us into existence. Deep cries out to deep with groanings that cannot be uttered. King David wrote, "As the deer longs for the water, so my soul longeth for thee." There is a desperation, a hunger within each of us that keeps drawing us toward the Father. Psalm 63, verse 1 says, "O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water." Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." 2 Chronicles 7:14, we know this, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land." I will heal their land. Understanding the supernatural, listen to this very carefully. Understanding the supernatural can only come through interaction. Understanding the supernatural can only come through an experience. God will always meet us at our point of desperation when we cry out to him. I'm thinking of the story of the woman with the issue of blood. Here is this woman that for 12 long years, had been suffering with this issue. I like that they use the word issue of blood, because how many of us have issues in our life? Come on. How many of us have issues? We got issues. All right? For 12 years, she had been struggling with this issue. She had been to every doctor, to every psychologist, to every psychiatrist. She had been given all the pills. She had been given all the treatments. Everything that they could possibly do. They had done, brought the cat in to do the CAT scan, the dog in to do the lab. And it didn't work. None of it worked. None of it worked. At the end, she's completely spent all of her money. She's sold everything that she has. And she's left empty, uncured, and she's still got issues. And then one day she hears about this Jesus. One day she hears about this Messiah, about this man who people were calling the Messiah. She heard the stories of how he was healing people and he was setting people free and he was casting out devils, and there were these miracles that were happening that no one else could even begin to touch and begin to fathom. And then she heard something that really excited her inside it, and it was, "He's coming to my town. He's passing through my village. He's passing by where I am." And she got so excited, and she began to make her way towards where he was. And she arrives in the location where she finds that there is this huge crowd. There's this huge crowd that has completely surrounded him. And they're like minnows or sardines in a can. They're all squished together, and they're pushing their way along, and they're trying to get, and Jesus is trying to get somewhere, and his disciples are all around him like his bodyguards, back up, get away, and they're trying to make a way for him to get through. And here is this woman who's got an issue that no one else could resolve for her. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? No science, no logic, no reason, none of the medicines of the time, nothing could fix her problem. Nothing could fix her. She was at a point of desperation. She tried everything. And she sees Jesus. And she begins to push her way through the crowd. And I can just see, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. You have to understand, the hem of a garment is down at the very bottom. So you know where she was. She wasn't standing up, walking her way through the crowd. She was on her hands and knees, digging her way through the crowd and being stepped on and being kicked and being pushed aside and being knocked down, and she didn't care. She continued to push forward because she needed a touch from the Master. She needed someone who could heal her, someone who could fix her issue, and she believed, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. We know the story. She made her way through. She reached out. And she just caught the very... And immediately she was healed. Immediately she was healed. Immediately she was healed. I want you to understand something. There comes a point in your life when no reason, no logic, no scientific explanation will get you what you're looking for. And you have exhausted everything that you have. And you finally realize, I need a touch. I need a touch. I'm desperate for a touch. And just a touch from Jesus. Just a touch, just a word, just an experience with the supernatural. An encounter will forever change your life. I'm reminded of two blind men. Two blind men who were sitting on the side of the road, and all of a sudden they heard a commotion, and they began to ask, what is this, the noise that I'm hearing? What are these things that are happening? And they had been there for years and years. They had been stuck sitting on the side of the road asking for alms. And it's interesting that it says that there were two of them. And that they were sitting in the same place, because then that means that we were competing for the alms. And yet, when they realized it was Jesus that they had heard all of these stories about, it said that they began to cry out with a loud voice, Jesus, Son of David! Have mercy on us. Said the crowds around him, said, shh, be quiet, leave him alone. But even more desperately, and even with a louder voice, they cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. You think they were desperate? He said, Jesus heard him and he stopped. He turned around and came back and he asked them, he said, what would you have me do? I love that. What would you have me do for you? What would you have me do for you? He said, could you restore our sight? He said, your faith has made you whole. Right then, right there, in that moment, they were made whole. And it said they got up and they followed him. They followed him. Now I want to mention something to you. I want to mention something to you. Sometimes we don't have the strength to even get ourselves up out of bed and get to the place where Jesus is. Sometimes we're just in such a decrepit state that we can't even find the strength to cry out. I'm reminded of a story of a man who was stuck in a bed, and he had four friends. And these four friends came and said, we're taking you to Jesus. We're sick and tired of you being sick and tired. We're taking you to Jesus. And here are these four men. I'm sure he had reached out to them. I'm sure he had called out to them and said, I don't know what to do. I'm desperate. I have nothing left. I have no strength left. I'm wasting away here in my life, and there's nothing else that I can do. And here are these four men. They said, we're going to take you to Jesus. And they pick up the bed, and they carry him down to the house where Jesus was teaching. Well, the house was packed. There were people surrounding the place. They were pressing in at the windows, looking in, because they were wanting to hear the words of this teacher, of this rabbi, of this one who was the miracle worker. They were wanting to hear these words of life that were coming from him. The friends were not at all dissuaded. They had made a decision. We've come all this way, and we're not going to stop until we get our friend to the feet of Jesus. They climbed up on the roof. They began to tear the roof apart, piece by piece, one shingle at a time, tearing the pieces off of it because they wanted to get their friend to Jesus. And they lowered that bed down right in front of him. What an experience. What an amazing experience. And he was healed. One encounter. One touch. Jesus heals. One encounter with the supernatural can change your life forever. It can instantly begin to explain to you things that you could never, ever imagine or dream possible. Things that you could never comprehend or put into words. What was the argument, the logical argument that the man who was healed of his eyesight had whenever the Sanhedrin pulled him into the temple and began to question him, said, well, who is this person that healed you? Jesus. No. You're mistaken. You're misunderstanding. That's impossible. That's not logical. That doesn't work for us. I need you to come up with something else. He said, look, man, I can't explain it. I don't know what to tell you. What do you want me to say? I was blind from birth and now I can see. You figure it out. I mean, that's the way I figured that he was probably said it. That was, they embellished it a little bit. Yeah. But that's where we are. We can't explain how or even why Simply, it is. You know why it is? Because he said, I am. He said, I am he. That means he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the God that was, he is, and he is to come. He has not changed from the moment that he has never began, nor will he ever end. He is eternal. He is omniscient. He is all-powerful. He is ever-present. He is the God who sees, who hears, who knows your weaknesses and has the ability to reach into your little realm of chaos, your little finite situation and your world where you are trying to somehow wrap your brain around, your mind around through scientific reason and explanation. This God who is above and beyond everything that you could even begin to imagine or fathom and all encompassing of it. Do you understand this? You don't need to understand God. You need to experience God. You don't need to try to figure him out. You don't need another lesson on who God is. You don't need another Bible study on how to be a good Christian. You just need to get in relationship with Jesus. He'll change your life and he'll change the world through you if you will be in relationship with Jesus. I could go on and on, countless stories of people who reached a point of desperation, a point of desperation and tears and crying out and saying, God, help me, I need your help. The result is always the same. God, when they encountered God, things changed. God does not always answer our prayers in the same way. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait. Sometimes he says my grace is sufficient for you. Through all of this, we learn one thing. God is sovereign and he desires relationship with us. We must never abandon our faith because we don't like the answer or the outcome. Many times we don't understand. Understanding comes with experience. I want you to look at this quote by A.W. Tozer. Love and faith are at home in the mystery of the Godhead. Let reason kneel in reverence outside. Love and faith are at home in the mystery of the Godhead. Let reason kneel in reverence outside. My mind is thinking of the story of the man who brought his child to the disciples. The disciples couldn't heal him. And finally, he cries out to Jesus and says, Jesus, I've done everything that I can. My son, he's incurable. Nobody knows what to do. Your disciples couldn't even heal him. But if you can do anything, would you just please have mercy on me. Sometimes we don't even know how to speak, right? We don't even know how to talk. We don't even know how to ask. But Jesus helps us. He said, if I can. And he says, if you have faith, anything is possible. That's a powerful statement. Anything? If you have faith. The man cries out, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I think we all get to that place. We want to believe. We want to have faith. But we keep tripping over our mind. Because the Bible says, he that believes where? In his heart. See, we think of belief as a mind thing. And God thinks of belief as a heart thing. Our minds can never comprehend what only our spirits can experience. Our minds can never comprehend what only our spirits can experience. We may not always like the way things are. We may not always understand what's going on around us. But like Peter, we have to get to a place where we say, where else can we go? Only you have the words of life. Only you have the ability to change the situation. What did Job say? Though you slay me, I'm still going to praise you. We have to understand. We have to understand that God wants relationship with us. He wants relationship with you. He wants relationship with me. But we do not always understand the ways of God. Life doesn't make sense. It isn't always fair. Sometimes circumstances defy logic. All this serves as proof that we are not sovereign and that we need God. We need God. Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. Here's the question. How desperate are you? How desperate are you? How hungry are you for God? What in your life needs a touch from heaven? Are you ready to defy logic and set reason aside and just come in faith, seeking God? Do you need a miracle? Do you need a supernatural breakthrough? God is here to meet with you. He's ready to touch you. He wants you to encounter his presence. Let me just say, you don't just need a miracle. You need the miracle maker. You don't just need a breakthrough. You need the one who breaks every chain. You don't just need healing. You need the healer. You don't just need a revelation. You need the one who reveals to you the things that are to come. You don't just need an encounter. You need an indwelling presence. Come and find the one who is dead and is alive. Come and find the one who is and who was and who is to come. Come and find the Almighty, the everlasting, the never-changing, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Jireh, the El Shaddai, Jehovah Shalom, Yahweh, the one who knows the beginning from the end. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus, our salvation. If you need Jesus, come to the altar. If you need Jesus, come to the altar. I'm not going to tell you how to seek him. I'm not going to tell you what to say. I'm not going to tell you you have to come to this place, but the altar will be open. What I will tell you is you need to remove every distraction. And if the people sitting around you are a distraction to you, find a place. Find a place. I'm going to tell you one last story. A woman by the name of Hannah. Hannah was barren. She couldn't have kids. She had tried and tried, 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 tried. She reached a point of brokenness and desperation. And every year, they were required to go to the temple. And every year, they had to offer sacrifices before God. Every year, they had to place their sacrifice before God, a sacrifice of thanksgiving for his greatness. And yet here she is, broken, crushed inside. She finds a moment to slip away from the meal that they were having, and she goes and she finds a quiet place. There comes a point in our lives where it's so difficult to even get the words out that sometimes we're just moving our lips, trying to form words, but nothing's coming out. We can't figure out what to say. She was at that place. She's there, and she's with tears streaming down her face, bent over, pouring her heart out to God. Moving her lips, but no sound was coming out. You understand? There's the high priest. He says, he thought she was drunk. He said, you need to go away from here. Don't you realize this is a holy place? Don't you know this is a place of reverence? Don't you know you should be ashamed of yourself? How could you come over here and you could be acting like this? You need to go away. She didn't care. She didn't care what it looked like. She didn't care what people perceived of her in that moment. She was at a point of desperation, and she was going to make her petition, her request, known to God. She was going to touch heaven. Stories don't always end this way. We've already discussed, sometimes God does other things. But I want you to know that that lady received. She had a baby, and that baby's name was Samuel. And he became one of the greatest prophets of the temple times, of the judges. He was the one that anointed King Saul. He was the one that anointed King David. He was the one that led the people in righteousness. He was the one that helped there to be an awareness of the presence of God. All because a mom didn't give up. All because she kept pressing in. I know we're out of time. this is what I'm going to do. For those of us who have somewhere to be, something that they need to do, I would ask that you would just simply do this. That you would just take a minute to place your petition before the Lord. I want you to hear God's heart today. It doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing, what your circumstance is. If you will turn your heart towards God, you will place all of your logic and everything. It doesn't matter what the doctor said. It doesn't matter what the lawyer said. It doesn't matter what anybody else said. You say, I need Jesus. I need a touch from Jesus. And you press in. I guarantee you, you will encounter the divine. You will encounter the presence of God. You will receive a touch from the Master. And it'll go right past our logic. It'll go right past our reason. It'll go right into the heart. If you need to go, we're going to release you in just a moment. But I want to say what we're going to be doing. We're going to take the next few minutes to just play a song softly. And we're going to lift up this worship to God. And we're going to give you an opportunity to come and to make your altar, to come and begin to declare the names of God over your circumstance, over your situation. We're going to leave that slide of the names of God up. If you look around here, all around, Gil made these, wrote the names of God all across this place. The names of God are declared in this place. You can have those names of God written over your life today. You can begin to reach out and begin to touch and begin to speak the names of God over your situation. You can look at that list right there and you can say, my provider, Jehovah Jireh. You can say, my banner, Jehovah Nissi. You can begin to proclaim the word of God over your life. You can begin to proclaim the truth of God over your life. That is what we are going to do right now. But I want to simply say, for those that need to leave, may you be blessed. May you go in peace. May the Lord prosper you. And may you find the time to set aside to touch heaven and to let heaven touch you. May it be so that you would find that experience that surpasses all human logic and understanding. I will do another close here in just a little bit of this time, but those who need to go, you're blessed to go. We're going to now move into this song. The altars are open. Come as you will. I've asked